All right, class, I'm recording this late at night here at Creekwood, and I do apologize if some of y'all are used to listening to this maybe on Friday or Saturday at the lateness at which I've recorded it. It's just been, I've been so slammed this week, just very, very busy. So I do apologize for that. This class is covering the role of second causes, and we'll conclude with a discussion of the I, the letter I, in Calvin's tulip, and the letter I in that tulip acrostic stands for irresistible grace. Specifically looking at the role of second causes, that's a term that you'll become familiar with as you study the Westminster Catechism, in the sense that because God has written out or foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, He's the primary cause. If the Lord chooses you to be saved, He's going to cause that to happen. But He's not going to reach down with a finger and just touch your forehead and all of a sudden you're a Christian. He's not going to use His own cause to make that happen. He's going to use someone else. He's going to have a second cause. And that second cause may be the person that you're rooming with in college that brings you to saving faith. It may be your mother and her prayers for you that causes you to come to a saving faith later in life, just like Augustine. And so when we're reading paragraphs 4.7 and 4.8 in Book 3, let's keep in mind that role of the people in our lives or the events in our lives that shape us and cause us to become aware of that new birth, that being born again in our hearts, the secondary cause, of course, the first cause always being God. So let's start with 4.7. And remember that at this point, Augustine is in college abroad, which would be in Carthage on the Mediterranean in North Africa. 4.7. It was among them at my tender age that I studied the books of eloquence, by which I longed to distinguish myself. Driven by delight in human vanity, a damnable and empty aim. In the course of my studies, I had come upon a book by a certain Cicero, whose tongue almost everybody admires, though not so much his heart. The book is called Horstensius and contains an exhortation to study philosophy. It altered my state of mind and my prayers, making them turn to you, Lord, changing my longings and desires. Suddenly, every vanity became worthless, and with a fire raging in my heart, I longed for the immortality of wisdom, rousing me to return to you. I did not immerse myself in this book to perfect my style, something I was pursuing in those days when I was 19 with my mother's funds, as my father had died 2 years before. No, it was not to perfect my style, for it was not the book's style that swayed me, but its words. How I burned, my God, how I burned to soar up to you from earthly things, though I did not know what you would do with me. For with you is wisdom, but the love of wisdom is called in Greek philosophy, and it was that with which Cicero's book inflamed me. There are those who use philosophy to lead people astray, shading and coloring their errors by means of that great and honored word. And almost all the philosophers who in Cicero's day and in former ages were of that kind, and they were listed and described in his book. Clear also is the salutary advice of your spirit, which you sent through your good and pious servant Paul. And he quotes here, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the godly body," or of the Godhead body, close quote. At that time, as you know, O light of my heart, the words of the apostle were still unknown to me, but one thing that attracted me was Cicero's exhortation, not to embrace this or that doctrine, and he's quoting Cicero here, but to praise and pursue wisdom, whatever it be, to achieve, understand, and embrace it, close quote. The only thing in Cicero's book that dampened my blazing fervor was that the name of Christ was not in it. For Christ's name, by your mercy, Lord, this name of my Savior, your Son, my infant heart had devoutly imbibed with my mother's milk, drinking it and preserving it deep within me. And whatever work did not contain your name could not grip me entirely, no matter how learned, refined, or sincere it might be. And so, in these two paragraphs, we learn that through Cicero, right, this man, this playwright who wrote a play, didn't have anything to do with the Lord, Augustine's heart was pricked. And that was the secondary cause through which God's primary cause of bringing Augustine to salvation. It was through Cicero's works pushing Augustine towards philosophy, okay, towards wisdom. It was by those means that God accomplished his primary means. I look forward to talking to y'all, and I apologize for the tardiness of this audio summary. Bless y'all. See you Sunday.